This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Chicago is now the largest outdoor shooting range in America, and other cities are following. To kill a child, you have to be a nihilist goon.
You know, I was asked probably 12 questions about the Confederate flag. I didn't receive one question on the deaths that we got in this country this weekend. I didn't receive one question about five children who were killed. We need to be focused on securing our streets, making sure no lives are lost, because all Black lives matter.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, there are some very, very militant type forces in Black Lives Matter. When you have the leaders of the Black Lives Movement who are now talking about, you know, if we don't get our demands, we're going to burn it down.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
You start to understand that you are now being controlled. You're not being treated as love. You're actually being controlled. Someone wants to control the narrative.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
What are the differences in the patients you're seeing now with COVID and the patients you were seeing a few months ago?
It's actually fascinating and encouraging a little bit as well. We're seeing a younger population. They tend to get a little bit less sick. We have seen mortality decrease overall. It's about half of what it was running in the first surge.
Unchained and unstoppable.
You know, we're going to continue to monitor the numbers. If they keep moving up, we're going to dial back if we have to. I'm not going to be bullied into moving before it's safe. And if we have to move back, we're gonna.
COVID does not take a summer vacation. It's very hard to put the genie back in the bottle. There will be some bumpiness. There has been in phase one, step one, and phase one, step two, and phase two, step one.
Stop complicating things.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
He talked about getting to the new normal. The new normal begins when he leaves office one way or another, along with his pay-to-play lieutenant governor. And who needs the new normal? We want to go back to the old normal. There was no reason to end the old normal. And it's certainly no reason not to go back to the old normal now. 844-500-4242. I want to play the Mount Rushmore supercut. This is back and forth. You know, when Trump went to Mount Rushmore last week, it was a symbol of white supremacy and racism, stolen land, traitors. When the Obamas go there, or when Bernie Sanders goes there, oh, it's a magical moment, isn't it? So we have a minute here of a, these are a super cut, Mount Rushmore then and now, cut 17.
And Jake, kicking off the Independence Day weekend, President Trump will be at Mount Rushmore, where he'll be standing in front of a monument of two slave owners and on land wrestled away from Native Americans.
Visiting Mount Rushmore today, Bernie Sanders taking in the majesty of the moment, this monument to four great American presidents.
So many levels to look at Mount Rushmore. You can look at it as a bit of grand sculpture, but each of those men sculpted our history.
America's most iconic landmarks, from Mount Rushmore to the Statue of Liberty.
It's representing great American sites like the Statue of Liberty and Mount Rushmore.
You know, you sit here and you think that this is our country at its very best.
And should President Obama be on Mount Rushmore?
Independence, liberty, the Union, and the preservation of this whole wilderness area itself. Those four men did that.
Just the accomplishment and the beauty here, it really does make one very proud to be an American.
Until Donald Trump went there. Now it must be destroyed, dynamited, like the Buddha statues in Afghanistan when the Taliban took over. Yes, very, very easy to understand, right? 844-500-4242. Let's play Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana talking about the carnage in the blue cities over the weekend. Cut three.
Chicago is now the largest outdoor shooting range in America, and other cities are following. It's not caused by the coronavirus. It's not caused by racism. It's caused by nihilism. To kill a child, you have to be a nihilist goon with no values whatsoever. But that is what happens when we defund our police, when we refuse to fix our schools, and we undermine the family unit.
You want to see a horrifying video? There's one that's posted by the New York Post right now and probably elsewhere. There's a guy, he's 29, walking his four-year-old daughter across the street through a crosswalk in the Bronx, and a car just pulls up alongside him, and he turns around to his daughter. I don't know why, and the guy in the car, he has a revolver, not a pistol of some kind, and he just shoots the guy in the back and kills him, and the guy falls to the ground on his back, and his four-year-old runs away. I mean, she'll be affected for life. I mean, how can you forget something like that? What could be more horrible than that? And that's just another day in the Bronx. And Bill de Blasio is blaming it on the court system, saying they're not working. So no, I don't think it's partially the court system's fault, but it's more the fault of not just de Blasio, but also Cuomo and the Democrats in the legislature that passed this so-called bail reform, which is actually no bail. And it's a complete disaster, and the crime levels are rapidly returning to the levels they haven't been since the 1970s or the 1980s. All that work from Giuliani and Bloomberg, and their police commissioners stop and frisk, that made the city a glittering gem. Once again, as it had been in earlier years, and it's all over now. It's devolving. 844-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Howie. Just wondering, I live in Burlington, Vermont, where Bernie lives.
Yes.
Not too far from me, actually. I don't want to know exactly where he lives, but he lives within a block or
yeah, when he's not at the lakefront vacation resort, which I'm assuming that's where he is tonight, David, right?
He is. He's one of those places that he owns.
Yeah.
And he's such a hypocrite, him and his corrupt wife that brought down a college, Burlington College. And where is his voice speaking up for the people that are suffering and, you know, all the common man that all the violence is happening?
Hey, he's got his, he made his money. He made a ton of money off of the 2016 campaign, and he made a ton of money off the 2020 campaign. You have some guys that run for president and they use it as an ATM, right? I mean, that's what he was doing. It's all laid out. And I would recommend this. Anyone who's still interested in Bernie Sanders, and you can also read up on the Biden corruption, is the book by Peter Schwartz. And it's called Profiles in Corruption. And it just lays out how Bernie made all of his money. And it wasn't from the so-called bestsellers that he wrote. Because believe me, I've written a couple of bestsellers, and I don't have three homes, including one on a lake. He made the money because he apparently set up a media buying company with his wife running it. So when you hire a media buyer in the campaign, they get 15%. So if you have $10 million to spend on TV, the media buyer gets $1.5 million. Now he had, I don't know, 60, 70 million last time around. He had over 100 million this time around. So his wife's doing all the buying with a couple other people. So you figure she's ending up with 5, 10% of probably $100 million. That's $10 million. Socialism is a pretty good racket when you really figure out how to run it right. And again, Profiles in Corruption is the name of the book. And it just, I never understood it till I read that book a few months ago. Thanks for the call, David. Give him my best if you see him. He's probably getting a couple of pints of Ben and Jerry's for the evening. Marty, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Marty. You there, Marty? Nope. Kathy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I want to tell you a story that's a true story. My nephew is 100% deaf.
Yeah.
And I am 3/4 deaf, but I wear hearing aids.
Yeah.
But my nephew was in the grocery store the other day where there is a security guard who left his post for a minute. So the cashier waved him over, and he's walking to the cashier, and the security guard is yelling at him to come back. Of course, he's yelling to his back, and he can't hear him. And this guy goes over and grabs him and pulls his arms up behind his back and then throws him against the wall. And he's trying to tell him he's deaf. And the guy doesn't believe him because he doesn't have hearing aids on. But he can't shop anywhere because he can't read people's lips. And nobody provides interpreters.
Did he have this problem before the virus?
No.
Yeah.
Because he could read people's lips.
Yeah, because you can't read it now because of the masks. I'd even thought about that, Kathy. Is this a? Do they have websites for people that have this problem? I mean, that are running into this problem that are run by deaf people?
Well, I'm trying to get it going because this is just ridiculous. I have to take my sister with me to shop.
Oh, good
Lord.
Which
I don't, but he's got to go now online because he can't understand anything, and nobody has patience.
Yeah.
None.
I know. Can you imagine going into a bank and, I'm not wearing a mask unless I absolutely have to. So you go, I'm going into a bank or at a very often, but you're walking into a bank and you put the mask up. I mean, what did that mean 6 months ago? If you're walking into a bank and you put a mask over your face, it's just crazy. And what good is it doing? There were 15 fatalities yesterday in Massachusetts. 11 of them were in Charlie Parker's nursing homes. So there were four. It's a state with almost 7 million people in it. They're going to be four people dying anyway. Everybody dies. That's the deal. I hate to break that to the snowflakes who are wearing the masks and thinking they're going to live forever, but that's the way it is. And that's the way it always has been. And that's the way it always is going to be. Thanks for the call, Kathy. I'm sorry about this problem you have. I hadn't even thought about that. Good Lord. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
I'm chewing a Super Beats soft chew. I brought in some for the VIPs. How do you like them?
Great.
Pretty good. Take a few with you when you go home. Honey is the free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your cart. And now it's part of the PayPal family. Start saving in seconds. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Howie. That's joinhoney.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What's a bigger threat to your health? COVID-19, Tripoli, or Charlie Baker's policies?
Charlie Baker's policies.
47% say Charlie Baker is a bigger threat to your health. 29% say Tripoli. 24% say COVID-19.
In case you're tired of being scared of the coronavirus and you can't wait for the homicide hornets to arrive, we do have a new insect for you to be concerned about. That is the Tripoli mosquito. So, Taylor, let's let him hear it. This is today's fear mongering by the governor. Cut 9.
Most years there are very few cases of Tripoli in Massachusetts, but every few years there are outbreaks with higher number of cases. We saw one of those just last summer. During the 2019 season, there were 12 human cases of Tripoli and 6 people died from those infections. And it's important to keep in mind that Tripoli outbreaks typically last 2 or 3 years. That means that we can expect the 2020 season to feature a high number of cases again.
We're all going to die. Let's play the Charlie Baker cut sound.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. Then along comes Charlie Parker. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. New Baker to spare you.
Charlie, please.
But you can't stop Charlie Parker.
Cut 11.
There will be some bumpiness. There has been. Every single time in phase one, step one, and phase one, step two, and phase two, step one. And I wish there was some way to avoid the bumpiness.
There is. Get you the hell out of office. That's the only way to avoid the bumpiness. How about the step four, phase two? How about step six, phase three? Well, we'll know all about those phases. Mainly the phases involve canceling stuff. Little League, summer camps, youth hockey. That's what we do phase to phase.
Next time we should get a phase countdown instead of phase count up, because they can keep adding on phases if they wanted to. People know the joke's over when we go into the negatives of phases. Phase minus two.
I know. Charlie, the gag's over. You've won the bet. You've ruined the state's economy. We're number four in fatalities. You've won. You've destroyed it. You're more destructive than Dukakis and Small Deval and Jane Swift combined. You've done more damage than any previous two or three governors. Can you let up a little bit? Let us have the summer off. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Yes. I went to vote today. He had a heavy lady. She take all the paper. He say, "Hey, you, what do you want to vote?" I say, "I want to vote Republican." And she say, "You sure?" I say, "Yes." And he say, "You sweetie pie, come here, sweetie pie." She call everybody sweetie pie tender because she heavy. She weigh almost 400 pounds.
And she was out in New Jersey. New Jersey, Mr. Garcia, is the deadliest state in the union.
Yes, and then she can tell everything because she a Democrat hack in Newark. She not going to get fired. I report her. She's not going to get fired because she a Democrat hack.
Were there any Republicans on the ballot in Newark today in the primary, Mr. Garcia?
Yeah, he had Donald Trump, and then he had to the application.
Yeah.
The application, and then she take a while to give me the application.
I'm sure.
Said, come on. And then he pitched me off.
Well, you know, when I look at the paper, the NJ.com tomorrow, and I see one vote for Donald Trump in the city of Newark, I'll know who cast it, Mr. Garcia. We'll be right back with the Secretary of Labor. I'm Howie Carr.
Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets? Down 1,000 or more points one day, up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride the stock markets have been on. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or before that, the oil price war abroad, you always need to be diversified. And that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you still haven't taken advantage of their no obligation guide, it's not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them now, 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And the Secretary of Labor, Gene Scalia, was in Boston today, and we just wanted to check in with him. Thanks for being with us, Secretary Scalia. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Howie. Good to be with you.
Tell us about the jobs report. I mean, that was a fantastic jobs report. I guess an all-time record, beat the record of May. almost 5 million jobs added to the labor force. How fast is the economy coming back in terms of jobs for people who lost their jobs in the panic?
Much faster than most people were projecting is the short answer. Howie, we still have some ground to cover here. There's still a lot of people out of work. We want to get them back to work safely. But what the report we put out last Thursday shows is really very similar to the report we put out a month before that. You know, we do these major reports once a month, and you put them those two reports together, we've added 7.5 million jobs back just in the months of May and June. And so we're really far ahead of the pace. In fact, the experts were telling us that we would probably lose about 7.5 million jobs in May. And now we see that we've actually gained 7.5 million jobs over 2 months. So we're far ahead. We got some work to do, but it's very encouraging. Of course, the unemployment rate dropped a lot, too. We're up at 13.3. We're now at 11.1. Again, that's high. There's ground to cover. But it's really encouraging for how the reopening of the national economy is going right now.
You know, I talk to people who, especially people who run restaurants, and they say they're having a tough time getting people back to work. Because they're with these the CARES Act and the extra $600 a week and unemployment, and you add the two of them together, a lot of people that worked in not entry level jobs but not the best paying jobs are making more money staying at home than they would be if they went back to work. I mean, is that a problem?
Yeah, that is a concern we hear expressed. And the CARES Act, as you know, Howie, was something really important the President and Congress did on a bipartisan basis back in March. It also included the Paycheck Protection Program, which has been really invaluable in keeping a lot of small businesses afloat and enabling them to keep their employees on payroll. But one other important component of it was this additional $600 a week.
Right.
In unemployment benefits, which made sense to have a substantial additional unemployment benefit when we were closing our economy. I mean, people were being told, sorry, you're not allowed to go to work. So that was very unusual. It was important to have an extra benefit. It does expire at the end of the month, and I don't think that kind of a benefit makes sense as we open our economy as we are now, because we want to provide the jobs, and we want people to go back to work. By the way, we put out another jobs report today showing that in May there were 5.4 million job openings. Think about that. May we were just starting the reopening, but there were still employers trying to fill 5.4 million jobs. So there's a lot of room for our economy to grow. I think that's part of that reason, the benefit you're talking about. Again, important thing to do, but Congress was right to have it ended.
Isn't there, though, some talk in Congress about extending it and continuing the payments through almost the end of the year?
There is talk. There's been a legislation to propose that. By the way, in Massachusetts, when you combine that $600 a week with the unemployment benefit that Massachusetts makes available, it's actually, I think, the most generous state unemployment benefit, you can be making an amount of money that would annualize out to almost $75,000 a year while on unemployment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how substantial this can get. And so I think there will be a discussion about whether we continue that kind of a benefit.
Yeah, I know. I've talked to several people about this. The one story I remember is down on the Cape. This person who said he was trying to get a bartender back to work for him, had worked for him for 15 years, and said, you can come back to work now. And the bartender wouldn't come back after 15 years, said, I'm making too much money. It's crazy. And the other thing is, Gene Scalia, Secretary of Labor, that these guys, especially the restaurant owners, complain about is that the president has cut off the HB1 or H1B visas, and they can't get a lot of the people that they were counting on, that they count on for summer jobs on the Cape. What's going on with that?
Yeah, those are the H2B visas, and obviously, the president's extremely concerned about the millions of Americans who remain out of work. and is very focused right now on doing everything possible to bring them back. One step that he took was to suspend workers coming in through the end of the year on some of those worker visa programs. So we're sure that Americans get first crack at that jobs. Now, there is going to be a process for circumstances where an employer just cannot get an American worker for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really financially threatening to the company. We want to enable them in those narrow circumstances to bring people in on H-1B or H-2B. But by and large, the president is just very focused, as he's always been, on American workers. By the way, I mean, the other really great thing that happened last week is that NAFTA died, right? We buried NAFTA. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement went into effect. You know, people ask me, what's the stimulus plan? And I say, well, it's things like that. It's steps to help American businesses, help create American jobs. NAFTA could create as many as 500,000 additional jobs or more. So the president is working a variety of ways to protect jobs, American workers, and that immigration order and USMCA are two examples of it.
Yeah, I guess it must be a pretty good deal for the U.S. I think I read Justin Trudeau wouldn't come down to the White House for any kind of ceremony.
Yeah, I think we'll survive. That's, you know, we'll survive. It was it's a really good agreement for the U.S. We were just sending too many jobs away, too many jobs to lower paying companies down in Mexico who were not providing their workers the kind of labor rights that we have here. So that's been fixed in USMCA. And that's another, by the way, I mentioned the CARES Act. Responding to coronavirus, huge bipartisan piece of legislation. So was USMCA. I mean, everybody knew that NAFTA was broken. It wasn't fair. It was hurting American businesses, hurting American workers. But it was President Trump who actually said, I'm gonna fix it, and he did. So I think it's going to be a really, really good thing for American manufacturing especially. And by the way, also for our supply chains. I think a lot of us, especially after coronavirus, are very concerned about our dependency on China. And USMCA is part of the answer to that, too.
Well, I thought it was crazy when the Bolton book came out, and they were making the left-wing media was making a big deal out of the fact that the president supposedly said, well, you know, I'm going to get a good deal out of China because it's going to help my reelection. Well, that's what he was elected on the first time, was getting a better trade deal with China, right? I mean, how was that a scandal, you know? I mean, to want to deliver for his constituents, the people who'd voted for him under that promise. It was ridiculous, I thought.
Yeah, that's a book I won't waste my time reading, even on a beach in the summer. But yes, I mean, the president's been very, very focused on just getting better trade deals. Again, with China, too, everybody understood that we had a trade relationship that wasn't fair and reciprocal, but it's been President Trump who was willing to, you know, stand up, push hard, fight to try to get a better deal. And, you know, we got that phase one deal, but there's obviously still more work to be done.
We're speaking to U.S. Labor Secretary Gene Scalia, and he's talking about the he's involved in a lot of things, including the another round of federal coronavirus aid. Tell us about the what you were in Boston specifically for today, and I think it had to do with new employment programs for people getting out of prison, correct?
Exactly. I was there to announce we're actually making $90 million in grants to programs that help men and women transition from the criminal justice system into the workplace. And, you know, this is something that's been important to the president, really, throughout his administration. Back in 2018, he signed what we call the First Step Act, which is a really pretty major reform of the criminal justice system, eliminating some inequities in sentencing, limiting three strikes a little bit. But another part of that is helping people who've served their time and paid their dues get back into society, including good employment. We've been talking, Howie, about the challenges we face now in the economy, but it's so important to remember how strong that economy was before COVID and how inclusive it was.
Mm-hmm.
We had just record low unemployment, which meant we had rising wages, and it meant that so many different Americans who historically have had at times difficulty in the job market were absolutely thriving. And one of the things going on was that businesses were stepping up to give a second opportunity to people who've been in the criminal
right.
justice system, just as they were hiring more people with disabilities and the like. And so we're rebuilding that economy, that incredible inclusive economy that President Trump built once. And so it was great to be in Boston, by the way. My mom's Boston Irish with a dog named Brady. But
I wonder who that could be named after.
Yeah, I'm trying to get her to change to Cam. What happens? But it's always great to visit Boston. But really good to talk to the good people who are running this program. And actually, the sheriff was there.
Sheriff Hodgson.
Coppinger for Essex County and
Commissioner
for probation for Massachusetts was there. So, you had law enforcement very vested in this program, as well as Volunteers of America Massachusetts, which is a program we granted $4 million to.
Well, the federal judges are certainly letting enough prisoners out, some of whom were bank robbers and murderers in the past. And so I don't think they're going to be looking for too many jobs, but I hope the people who aren't violent criminals who are getting out can get some jobs. Gene Scalia, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we appreciate you being with us. And congratulations on the amazing job reports the last couple of months. And I hope you keep them coming. I hope the economy keeps them coming. Thanks. All right. That's Eugene Scalia, the Secretary of Labor. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Bruce from the Mets is really angry at Karen Pulido for shutting down all the little leagues. When I was a kid, my whole life was Little League and Pony League baseball. I was crushed when we got rained out. This is cruel to so many young kids. I'm sorry, I hate Pulido. You want to hear what Pulido had to say? This is, I'm told that this was just like one person on the reopening committee. Doesn't like Little League, doesn't like youth hockey. Probably doesn't like Pop Warner football if she doesn't like Little League and all the rest. So it was shut down. It was just, they shut down the whole league, and they were planning to reopen too. But, hey, it's important. They have to, use the data. That's what they keep talking about, the data. And the data says zero fatalities under the age of 20. And I keep repeating that. I'm sorry, but most people don't know that. They really think that people are, young people are dropping like flies, and they're not dropping like anything because they're not dropping, period. But anyway, here's Karen Pulido talking about the levels. Cut 12.
This is a challenging area, but like industry reopening, sports also has levels of play as well as an assessment of risk associated with the individual sport activity.
Can you imagine this dope is getting a say in an industry reopening? Not to mention Little League. I mean, this woman, I wonder if she could spell cat if you spotted her to the C and the T. Cut 13.
Level one being a practice with distance on the field, which was part of phase two. Level two allowing more play intra-team, so teammates playing one another. And level three being inter-team, so two different teams coming together. And level four being tournament play, where teams come from out of state and within a region.
God, what a dope. I mean, I wasn't even into Little League, as you might expect. I was not a great athlete, but that just irritates the hell out of me, too, when I think about it. All these little kids, they were just waiting. They were waiting. Their coaches and told them, once we get by the 4th of July, the leagues will be up and running again. And they're out. They're under. It's not going to be any football in the fall, apparently. They're talking now they're going to, the fall football season is going to be in the spring. Anything to knock Trump down. That's all this is about. 844-500-4242. 207 says, giving people a bonus not to work was stupid to begin with. If they renew it, it's even dumber. But then 508 says, that $600 is keeping me alive. No work in AV conventions, et cetera. Yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, if you get a chance to get your job back and that you're offered your job back, and should you still be out on unemployment? I mean, it's too bad. I mean, there's just too many people involved to check. But, I mean, you should not be able to continue to collect an extra $600 if you can have a regular job. Should you? I mean, I know Nancy Pelosi wants to do away with job lock, but still. It's quite destructive. And I give credit to I think there were five or six Republican senators, including the two Scotts, Rick Scott from Florida and Tim Scott from South Carolina. They said, this is crazy. You're paying people not to work. As Scalia said, they're paying in Massachusetts $65,000 a year not to work. I know it's going to run out, but that's pretty attractive cash. If you were making $800 a week before and now you're making $1,300 a week or you were making $700 a week, you almost double it. How crazy is that? And it goes right to the deficit. The deficit is now up to, what, $26 trillion? $26 trillion? Limerick guy says, the left's plan is simple, whether it's COVID-19 or Triple E, keep it going till we're Trump-free. Yeah. I wonder if Hillary Clinton was president, if we'd be having this Triple E problem. I know COVID-19 wouldn't exist, for sure. It would exist, but it would be like just a regular flu. There would be no hysteria. It would be like H1N1, wouldn't it? Remember the H1N1? Yeah, me neither, till this one started. It was 10 years ago. 844-500-4242. Back tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.